What is up? It's Tuesday night, May 1st. Welcome to episode 40 of Inside the Game. I'm DJ Wheat, joined as always by Check Six Pain user EG Idra and EG In Control. Guys, hello. How are you doing this week?
Good.
Pretty good. Yep, pretty good. Have had some time off. Nice and relaxing.
Good and relaxing, yes. And tonight, my apologies, we are broadcasting in 1080p. And this, of course, is because Monster Energy, our new sponsor, requires us to push out the most Monster stream that we possibly can. No, just kidding. I messed up. So sorry to all you folks out there. But thank you to our sponsors, SteelSeries, Monster Energy, and Six Pool Gaming, for bringing Inside the Game here every single week. And we got a lot of pretty interesting stuff to talk about. Of course, we'll be able to take calls tonight. You'll get your goat lust. In Control, before the show started, I was about ready to say you missed out on probably, you know, what could have been one of the most interesting Inside the Game last week. Are you aware of what you missed out?
I saw you guys getting yelled at in the thread and stuff. So.
Oh, really?
It must have been good.
Really? Well, so what we decided to do is that we actually played custom games while we took phone calls.
Okay. And I saw it. You didn't even have the respect. The decency.
What?
Just give those people the time about playing your games while talking to them.
Yeah.
That couple of posts in the thread. I liked it. Guys start off by saying,
Oh, really? Someone actually said that?
Yeah. Oh, they were very upset that we did not give enough attention to the callers.
And then you responded, no, fuck you. I apologize for my webcam again. Anytime there's like four people on it, apparently it goes to shit. I don't know what to say. But.
It's good, though, because now people get to see your low-quality webcam in 1080p.
It's like I'm an alien.
It's
like,
kind of important.
How did you mess up by broadcasting in 1080p, if we could clarify?
Because I restarted XSplit, because the moment the show went on air, a green screen popped up. And that typically means that you just need to restart your XSplit. So when I did, it still defaults back to your default resolution all the time. And our default resolution is 1080p because you never want to go backwards. You always want to, you know, go backwards. Never mind.
Okay.
It didn't make any sense.
I think I look kind of cool.
Fair enough.
Nefarious.
So, yeah. What looks cool?
I look nefarious like this. Oh. Like I know.
Like
a confessional.
A little spooky.
When he touches me, makes me feel very bad.
That's really scary, man.
I don't want my identity out there.
If you have any information, call Crime Stoppers.
Someone save me.
I wanna ask Greg what it must feel like to have a photo that exists on the internet of Flash pointing at your picture on the wall.
Is that actually real? I thought that was Photoshopped.
Was it Photoshopped?
Oh, wait.
I'm sure.
Weed.
No, really?
Yes, man.
Really? Are you seriously?
Can I be your guide through the internet from now on?
Gosh,
everything like, is fake. Just go on that.
Oh, my right. God.
I got news for you. That squirrel that you liked that was jet skiing, that didn't actually happen either, man. That was, like, set up.
Wow. Well, you know what? Props to that guy, because I saw it and I'm like, that's fucking awesome, man. Like, here's the first thought that went through my head. You guys will enjoy this. Let's just like further embarrass Wheat. First thought that went through my head is like, man, they're really getting these guys involved in StarCraft 2. Like are they going through some awesome timeline that involves like the North American talent? And here I am. Wow, Photoshop. My world was just fucking destroyed by you guys. Why couldn't you just play along? So, Idra, what's it feel like to have Flash pointing at your picture on the wall? Yeah. Photoshop.
It's an honor. Yeah, honor and a privilege, you know.
It's like, bring it on, Flash.
Such a prestigious player pointing at a fake picture of me.
But in all seriousness, I guess transitioning over to kind of what this all means is that we've talked about it many times on Inside the Game. We've speculated about the concept of will the change ever come over. Even last week during the inappropriate show that we had, Idra, you commented on it sounded like the back and forth, the bounce, the Brood War, StarCraft II sort of rumors that have been going around. But now it is confirmed with pictures, real life proof. I'm sure it wasn't all photoshopped, but these guys are getting into it. I would love to hear what your guys' thoughts on that are.
I think it was pretty inevitable. Like, StarCraft II is the new thing. Blizzard wants to push Korea towards it. Kespa can't hold on to Brood War forever, even if they even want to. I mean, there's probably more money in StarCraft II anyway, as long as they take advantage of it properly. But yeah, I still don't think there's enough information out there to know how it's actually going to integrate. Like, if we're going to see the Kespa players at foreign tournaments. But given that GOM and IPL have partnered, and MLG is not particularly happy about what happened with GOM, I'd imagine MLG is aiming for a partnership with Kespa, or at least cooperation with them. And from the sounds of it, they're bringing Kespa players to Anaheim. So I think we're going to see at least some level of integration, which is going to make it really, really interesting. See how everyone interacts, and who goes to what tournaments, and how foreigners in Korea, how that's going to work out now.
And if I'm not mistaken, that the giant meetup, the Korean organization, let's all get together and sing around a campfire, is happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
Announcement of an announcement, man.
That's what it's going to be?
Esports Vision.
Like, Slasher's convinced. He's like, man, we're going to find out all sorts of stuff tomorrow. I'm like, I don't know, man. I think people are going to shake hands and exchange cards. And
it's going to be really fluffy, I think. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Feel good message, all going to cooperate for the betterment of the esports.
Yeah.
On this day,
nice
May
and PC.
2nd, we have decided we will not condone an action of war.
I like it.
And then they'll be like,
is that Truman?
No. I think that's like
Kennedy.
Kennedy, yeah.
Okay.
So, what could they announce that's going to absolutely, like...
Well, like, that's it. What could they?
We're going to build a tower of babies, and like all the players are going to live inside this building made of living babies. And
the only thing I could possibly see is they actually just announce what Kespa / OGN StarCraft II league tournament involvement is going to be. But I don't know.
And what happens with the broadcasting rights?
Yeah.
Which is kind of...
The fact that they're all doing it together means it's going to be shared. Like, if someone was getting cut out, they would not be at the meeting.
I'm going to be so underwhelmed if they're like, we would like to announce the Brood War players will play StarCraft.
Yeah.
Hold on to your seats, folks. It's going to happen. Penius, you've been a little quiet about this. What do you think about the dawn of what could be?
I mean, I think it's terrifying for anyone who's like on top of the scene right now. I mean, when you watch those guys play, like 4GG when he streams, and I've yet to see Flash or any of them play, but they just bring so much raw talent to the game. It's kind of unreal. And they just lack like a lot of situational experience right now. But I think once they put that together and they get a couple thousand games under their belt, like, I think they'll be able to compete with the best. And then only time will tell if they can excel beyond the best right now. But I think they will. Well, I just think it's a matter of time.
4GG was a Star League winner, and he's been playing StarCraft 2 for over a year. Like, people didn't realize how long he was practicing before he let himself become public. And he's good, but he's just another good Korean. He's not Code S regularly. He's not winning in Code S, at least. Like, he's not special. And MVP was decidedly less accomplished than him at Brood War, and he won 3 GSLs. So, the people who switch over, they're all going to be pretty good, at least, but they're not all going to be super dominant, and some of the people you expect to be super dominant might not be. Like, it's going to be hit or miss, and they're not going to completely change the landscape of things immediately.
All right, Greg, then let me ask you this. Let's just say, hypothetically, 30 Brood War players, like, make the switch. Suddenly, it starts happening. Out of these 30, how many do you think are capable of, let's just say, going to, or will be, within a reasonable time frame, going to, you know, an event and taking a top 8?
Give them 6 months, and I'd say most of them. Like, if you mean a foreign event.
Wow. Yeah. Any of them.
They are the most talented RDS players in the world, and that will transfer. It's just, we're talking about Flash coming over and going like 90-100% win, which is possible for Flash, but the rest of them, they're just going to be more good Koreans. They'll up the level just because there's going to be more of them. But a lot of them are so good because they're mechanical monsters.
Sure.
And that will, that obviously, you know, that's part of StarCraft 2. But there's a much different skill set involved. And we can see that in the switchovers who have been successful and not successful already. It, like I said, 4GG was a much better Brood War player than MVP, much more successful. MVP's had way more success in StarCraft 2. So, like, the people who are dominant in Brood War aren't necessarily going to be the best in StarCraft 2, and vice versa. But Flash will be. Jadong, I don't think will be nearly as good as Flash, just because he was so great, much more mechanic, because he was a mechanical player. Whereas Flash sure. has great game understanding and decision making and whatnot.
Okay. Well, this... go ahead, In Control.
I just, everything Greg says, in my opinion, just dead on, like, the super, super mega talents, the Flash, the Jadongs, the Bisous, the Storks, they're probably going to do really well. I mean, we can speculate on little reasons why maybe they're not going to do as well as they did in Brood War. Or they're not going to be like the second coming of Christ, for StarCraft. But I guess I kind of laugh a little bit at the discussion. It's like, yeah, they're going to be amazing, you know. And what guy out there has that edgy opinion where he's like, hey,
Flash is kind of going to suck.
Flash is going to fucking suck. Okay, mark my words. Here's why. Okay, his birthday. You know, like, there's just nothing. There's why would you ever even guess? You know, every really good player, for the most part, from their previous game, came over and did really well, and some shitty ones did too. And you're
very true.
To say a name, but I'm not going to. Not this time, drama bomb. Not this time. Destiny took all that.
Oh, we have plenty of drama coming up too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's, before we get to all that good stuff, to segue over from these players, like Greg, you had brought out, and it's pretty, I mean, it hasn't technically been said, I think, ever, but it's been alluded to that it's like the worst kept secret in StarCraft II right now is that it sounds like there is going to be some form of Brood War player playing now. The rumor is Heart of the Swarm. In Anaheim, on stilts, while also juggling a flaming fucking baton. I don't know how far this rumor goes. But, so, Heart of the Swarm at Anaheim, like, that's cool, right? I think we're all excited just to see what the future may or may not hold. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, getting to see these guys play Heart of the Swarm. Anyone want to take a crack at that one?
Hey, you guys remember when Sonky played Yellow? I know. Me neither.
That ridiculous Blink Stalker micro? That certainly carried through.
That was an amazing show match between...
What happened to Sonky?
He was bad.
I remember he was, like, super into it in the beta, right? I mean, he was decent in the beta. I mean, he wasn't like...
Gosu. He's playing right now.
Really? I didn't know that.
He looks like every other Gosu player.
Great.
So, cheesing pretty hard?
Yep.
Okay. Fair enough.
The game is, like, I don't know. Heart of Swarm, like, pre-beta, is just going to have to change so much because it's going to be so terribly broken when they first put it out that it's barely going to be relevant. I mean, it'll be cool. You'll see the new units in action, see the Brood War pros if that actually happens, but it's not really going to be relevant. It's just going to be fun.
I would have rather they were just entered into the MLG tournament and played.
Yeah, that'd be way cooler.
Maybe they still are. I don't know that they aren't, but... like, them playing Heart of the Swarm, depending on, like, if I'm on location, I'll watch it, but I'm literally not going to, you know, freak out and go see it, because, it's kind of the same thing as the, like, the beta for Heart of the Swarm. I think the things they proposed are going to be 100% completely different from the release, and, they've kind of already proven that point with this last, like, this thing where they talk about Heart of the Swarm, and they're like, yeah... Tempest kind of sucks. We nixed that. Replicator's actually impossible. What the fuck were we thinking? Oh my god. We tried to work on that thing and holy shit.
A week before the beta went live, the Nexus started with 25 enough mana for a chrono charge, so you could just immediately charge out your probes. And like a week before the beta actually went live. So they are pretty bad at what they do, so we're gonna see changes. Like, all the way up till the beta starts, and then we'll see the real balance changes start. So it's going to be absolutely irrelevant to what's going to happen in the competitive scene.
I mean, I get the impression that you guys could just kind of care less. There's not even like an ounce, like even the smallest little bit of fanboyism. That's like, all right, this is cool, man. I love Greg. Like, fuck no, man.
I kind of like the new Zergunus. I think there's potential in the Viper and the Swarm host. So I don't know. I like to see that, but like I said, I expect everything to change so much that it's not even relevant.
Sure.
Out of like, because of State of the Game and Inside the Game, I will definitely spend time checking it out so I can be more informed, as opposed to the last time we talked about, where it's just like, I think Tyler had tried it out and JP did, but other than that, I hadn't. So, and you know, it's our freaking livelihood, it's our future. So obviously, we're invested in, and I'm definitely gonna check it out. But as far as like, as a professional player at an event, is this really exciting to us?
We won't see you running over and knocking over fucking kids on your way there. Like
standing in line, like, come on, I've got a match in an hour. Like, come on, I got to try hard.
All right, guys, I'm putting a bounty out. Anyone who gets a picture of In Control, even like watching Heart of the Swarm at all,
2012.
I'm going to give you a case of Monster. There you go.
We're not even going to be able to. Like, they have the actual MLG, and then they have the American qualifier for that Blizzard series. Like, we're not going to have any time at that event.
It's going to be
In Control will make time, and someone will find that photo. It'll happen.
The night before.
You have what?
Definitely seen Prometheus at midnight.
Oh my
night.
God, dude, that's so great. That's so great. I can't wait to see that.
I am.
Looks like so good.
Yeah.
Talking about Heart of the Swarm, Pain User, are you same thing?
I mean, it's like you can't really hypothesize too much about it until it actually comes out and you see how the units like fit in with top level players and then take it from there. But I mean, I'm definitely interested in it. I want to check it out at Anaheim for sure. Assuming there's like time to do so.
Bring it on. No bounty for you. There was another interesting article that came out in regards to something that is not necessarily related to Heart of the Swarm, but could be related to Heart of the Swarm. And I don't know if you guys heard, but Diablo 3 and Battle.net came out today and said that they are going to have cross-region play.
Whoops.
Oh, those motherfuckers. God. That's
so frightening. I can't believe that. Like, that they would announce that, too.
Just however, maybe, just maybe, I will be the optimist here. Maybe this means that a future title from Blizzard might also have a similar level of support.
Of technical competence? No.
No?
Yeah, I don't know. From what I've heard from Blizzard, like, they blame everything on the Battle.net department. Apparently, it's like this satellite of Blizzard that just operates.
So
totally.
No, they do have a separate team. Like, they have a team for each game, and then they have a team for Battle.net. And so Battle.net team is right now obviously focused on the D3 Battle.net, right. not StarCraft 2.
Now, just to clarify, you choose your home region, right? But what you can do is you switch regions. So it's not suddenly going to be like all of bronze is spread across the globe and, you know, et cetera. It's still very much like NA, EU, South Korea and Taiwan, Hong Kong and Macau are going to be the same. But then I could switch to Europe.
The real question is the latency, because, like, it's annoying to have to buy another version of the game to get on Europe right now. But pretty much every pro player has an account on every server. It's the fact that you have to play in high latency if you're playing cross-server. That's the real problem. So if D3 allows you to switch, but then you're just playing at 200 MS ping or whatever, it's not actually any better.
Not worth it, you think? All right.
But yeah, because everyone already has access to every server. It's just because of the latency that's wrong. There's a problem.
Maybe we'll be able to. Who knows? All right, so before we get into our last item, before we go to phones, tonight we have got a GSL, and correct me if I'm wrong, Idra, you have an amazing memory. The last time that someone got to a round of four in GSL was actually
Jinro,
right? And then that was you versus him in the round of eight, right?
Yeah, the winner of us went up and he won.
So kind of a, you know, another big foreigner moment here as Naniwa will try to make it through to the round of four. Before we talk about that just a little bit, I understand that there is a show match that is going to take place that was mentioned earlier. Greg, maybe you could tell us a little bit more about this.
Yeah, I'm playing Moro for a live show match for NASL out at UCI, like University of Irvine, I think. There's some bar there in California this weekend. And Naniwa just randomly came into a thread and said that NASL didn't allow him to choose me for the show match. And we didn't choose opponents. I was just told, do you want to play Moro, yes or no? So he just randomly popped in the thread and said he wasn't allowed to choose me. Sad face. And Naniwa is just a little fucking prick. And that was really annoying. And his PBZ is shit. Like, he's gotten through on PBPs and PBTs. His opponent's playing retarded and him doing cheesy builds. So I just found that very annoying and told him he was shit. And so he offered, but put up $1,000 and play a show match. So that is now apparently going to happen.
And when is this going to... When is this going to happen, do you know?
He said a couple of weeks after his GSL run. I have four tournaments in a row starting May 18th. So sometime before then. Or not until summer.
Awesome. And you're confident you can win that one?
Well, my CVP is shit, but his PBZ is shit, so.
It'll be an equal matchup as a result of that.
Yeah.
Great. All right, so we'll be keeping an eye out for that for sure. That, of course, leads us into tonight on GOMTV.net. You will be able to watch live the, the match. What? What?
175 PMs you don't read, Wheat?
What? Oh.
Well, I'll be.
What are you Wheat's trying
dirty
to
laundry
say,
popping up on stream.
What is fans saying?
What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say?
You know what? Here's what I'm imagining. A guy with like a candle by his desk just writing out, "Dear DJ Wheat, you are my favorite hat. Host and commentator in the whole world." And then it says, like, "The doctor gave me just 4 days to live. It's for you to write back just a smiley face or something. Anyway, I gotta go before I really gotta go. Bye."
Oh, I answer all the dying kids' emails, actually. I get at least one a week, Jeff. Those are the most important. The everyone left over, those are the guys that are going to die in the next year or so or are yelling at me. So there we go. I just, so that you know, if it makes you sleep better at night, I answer all the dying kid emails.
That is all that I care about.
All right. So Naniwa plays MVP and also Parting plays Oz. So a PVT, a PVP. We're going to be seeing a lot of those matchups coming up here. And the GSL guys, you know, I said for a long time that one of the greatest things that could happen for everything, I think StarCraft II global as an esport, as a competitive game, would be for a foreigner to win a major competition like this. I feel like I'm saying the exact same thing on
and
the.
And then hell gave you Naniwa.
And then. What do you guys think? Anyone want to throw out some?
It's a win-win for me. I agree with you. I think a foreigner winning would be absolutely amazing. I think it'd be a shot in the arm for GOM and GSL. I just think it'd be good. But then if he doesn't win, that's good too. But I'm trying to. Here's my dream of dreams. Naniwa wins the GSL. There's, like, confetti shooting and shit, but all he does is kind of narrow his face down and stare straight forward, and then they go to Naniwa, and they're like, "Naniwa, you just won the GSL. How do you feel?" And he's like, "Shit, there's no more competition. Everyone's too fucking terrible. I think I will move on to America's Major League Baseball or NBA. They're like, "Aren't you happy?" And he's like, "No, this is the worst day of my life. God, I can't wait for his winning speech. It's going to be, like, the best thing in the history of all of everything. It's going to be fucking amazing. He's going to be pissed. I worked so hard for this.
I think that now you've got me thinking about what this speech would be, and honestly, Jeff, I don't know, man. Now you just kind of blown my mind for the second time of the night. I don't know how that would go. And then the Korean translation for it. Like, can you convey that emotion? I'm actually quite excited. I'll be staying up tonight. You know, just take off the hat and hope that a foreigner makes it to the round of four. Pain user, what do you think? Historic potential here?
Of course. He's on fire right now, and his PVT looks amazing. So, I don't know. He's up against MVP, though. I really hope he makes it. I think it would be great to have a foreigner make it. I think it would be a great thing for our community to rally behind. So, yeah, it's like Jeff said, it's a win-win either way. And even that he's made it this far.
Too, by the way. It's all
yeah, he could.
And he's just a crazy good player. Like, jokes aside, the guy's fucking amazing at StarCraft too, man. He really is. And
yeah, he is.
He's shown that his Terran and Protoss matchups are very, very strong. With the guys left over, I think it's possible. Again, jokes aside, I hope he does do it, because how many times have we ever been able to talk about a foreigner Star League champion? Isn't it just Guillaume? Isn't it just Gurr?
Yeah.
Did LT win one?
No, he got second.
It's just Gurr. So the other thing here too is Gurr won it when the getting was good early on in Brood War. if things are going to go the way of Brood War, now is our only time to have that time where we can go, you know, there was that one time back in the day when Manuel won a Star League, and then he actually was pissed about it. But still, it was awesome.
Getting while you're getting's good.
I totally agree with Jeff. Like, regardless of all the bullshit and all the drama, like, he's a fantastic StarCraft 2 player, and he's blazing a trail right now in the GSL. And we'll see if it stops where he's at tonight, but I hope he keeps on going, to be honest. I'm pulling for him.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are getting hyped for this matchup. It's good to see the community kind of rally behind it once again, and hopefully there'll be a nice little turnout tonight. And good luck to Quantic Gaming and Naniwa, and we hope to see you in the round of four. That being said, it's time to talk about what, like, everyone in chat really would like us to talk about. And first and foremost, Take TV, you guys know him, Dennis. He is the sort of brainchild behind the Home Story Cup, and he has been doing some broadcasting lately. He is actually now gone independent. So he works with ESL TV, but he is actually his own company now. And, big congratulations to him for sort of making that jump. He already is doing a big cup today that was a nice invitational that extends into tomorrow. He had some people over commentating, etc. I suggest you check that out, twitch.tv/TakeTV. But in addition, he's also sort of ramping up some content on his website, taketv.net. And one of the pieces of content was a blog from Cloud that, you know, was like a 13-minute straight-up, like, his no-fluff opinion on the state of casters currently. And, you know, I mean, in relation to what we've talked about here on Inside the Game before about this and the fact that it's one of these things that keeps coming up, there was definitely some interesting opinions thrown out there. And additionally, there was a calling out of one of Inside the Game's co-hosts. And I was taken back by it. Within the first 3 minutes, he had called out Pain User and it called out Day 9. And just to give you guys kind of the points of it all, and then I guess we'll discuss it. He says that most players are disappointed that these people are making a career out of it, which I found very interesting. How one quantifies most players, I'm not sure.
We have a separate Skype channel, to be honest with you.
Oh, I got you. It's called Most Players. He knows gamers who, quote, practice so much, live for the game, and have a dream. Claims to be a caster, you need good personality, and he does praise Day 9 for personality and Total Biscuit, and he says you must know how to speak. Says you typically need a good co-caster. You know, this is, of course, what we sort of all know. And then he says, as a player, you have to play to win, but casters don't, which that kind of took me back a little bit. Wants people to recognize good casting, and some people should, quote, not be doing this. Wants to see Grubby stop playing and start casting. You know, and goes on and kind of calls out some terrible fucking casters, I think were his exact words at the end. But, you know, Pin User, I've known you for a while now. We met at the first MLG, and, you know, I definitely would love to get a response from you, as well as I'm sure all the viewers and folks out there as well. And, you know, like, I just would lead it off with, on a very personal note, having worked with Pain User before, cast with him quite frequently, you know, one of the reasons why I enjoyed casting with Pain User right off the bat was not only his knowledge and his personality, but also because every time I got to hang out with him or talk with him, I saw how much he loved the game. And so I would just kick off a question to you, because Cloud calls you out, also says, you know, these casters are in it for the money, and, like, I've never known you to be in it for the money. So, Pain User, you know, your response, and then, quite frankly, my question, are you in it?
I mean, first of all, I'm kind of flattered that he, you know, put me on a pedestal next to Day 9. I don't think that I've achieved that level of casting yet as an analysis caster, not even close, and I'm certainly not making that much money. I mean, if I wanted to, I could make more money flipping burgers at Burger King on a regular basis every year. And I think the same can be said for a lot of players out there too. So, I mean, I think he's just frustrated in a situation that a lot of players have been in, and in a situation that I was in as a player as well. So it's very difficult to make a living as a player unless you're on a team that can support you 100%, pay you a good salary, and take care of all your needs as a player and allow you to just focus on the game, which is like three teams out there, you know, in the Western scene right now, four teams, tops. So I can understand the frustration there. And then for me, getting into casting was like a really natural thing. Like, I started casting on my stream. People enjoyed my analysis. So I started casting for small-time events, and then eventually just got hired by IGN, like right in the middle of my career as a player. So for me not to accept something like that is kind of crazy, because not only am I still doing what I love, which is StarCraft, whether I'm casting StarCraft, watching tournaments, playing StarCraft, it's enjoyable to me no matter what I'm doing. So I enjoy it either way. And maybe he doesn't enjoy casting as much. Maybe certain players don't enjoy casting as much. But I can assure you, the casting market is oversaturated as well. There's a lot of people out there who think they can just throw on a suit and start talking about StarCraft and have it be relevant and entertaining. And it's the same as players. And I think you can flip that back on players as well and say, like, there's a lot of players who practice all the time and they put in all the effort in the world, and yes, they have a dream, but they're not posting results, they're not winning. So I mean, you can say the same thing about casters. There's casters that put in a ton of effort, but their analysis either isn't on point or people don't agree with it, or, like, I think it goes both ways for players and casters. And for me, it was just a natural evolution into casting. So, I don't know. I don't think that there's anything bad about it. I think that it's a huge misconception about casters, like, living this, like, lavish life when people see Tasteless and Artosis, you know, flying all over the place and, like, their interviews from GSL and stuff. Like, that's not how it is for everybody. So, I think it's just a really big misconception.
Well, I mean, go ahead. Go ahead, Greg.
Originally, when this topic first started to come up, when people first started to talk about it, my gut reaction was, yeah, casters make way too much. They have the easy side of things. But even really, thinking more about it, it's really a grass is always greener on the other side kind of thing. It's like, if you look at all the casters, who besides, like, some of them do make ridiculous money. Total Biscuit, Tastosis, Day 9 make just ridiculous amounts of money, way more than the top player. And the only thing that really bugs me there is that Day 9 lies about how much he makes and, like, tries to cover it up and hide it and act like he's not as nearly as well off as he is. But, you know, the top players make a good amount of money too. And then after the top casters, they make very, very little from what I know. They, like, barely enough to support themselves, if that. And so I think what happens is that players look at those top casters and they make a lot more money than us, and they don't have the stress of competition, although they do have the stress of performance, but it's difficult to understand until you're actually under that stress to make it seem as important as the things you have to deal with. So that kind of gets downplayed. And then they don't actually have to practice 12 hours a day, so that seems like a much easier life. And to some extent, I still feel that casting is easier. Like, if I switched over, I think I would make more money and work less hard. But I don't, because I don't think it would be satisfying to me. I think I need that competition. But yeah, on the whole, it's mostly players just seeing the good parts of the life and the benefits and assuming that they would then be in the top tier of casters and would be making $200,000 a year, when in reality most of them wouldn't if they switched over. So mostly it's just a perception kind of thing, although there are some certain, there are definitely some problems, particularly with certain casters.
Jeff?
I think it's a, for me this is like an umbrella situation where specifically calling out specific people and some of the people he called out, I don't necessarily agree with it, but to each their own, I guess. You know, I know Taylor fairly well. I know who. I think he said Orb was in it for the money as well. And I can, you know,
definitely
I'm
not.
Like, I'm not Orb's best friend, but actually, that guy is not in it for the money. So I mean, like those kind of like
can
little
I,
points.
Can, since you're bringing out Orb as well, because Cloud actually called out Orb for his hand movements and. I this shocks me when people say that Orb fakes excitement, because let me tell you a story.
Oh yeah.
At NASL, before it got started in season 2, I was hanging out with Orb in my hotel room, and I was playing a game before, I had my setup, and he came in, we were just chatting, and he was like, "Hey man, do you want a ladder? Like I'll help you out with some games." You know, he knows that I'm fucking sitting there laddering whatever. And so I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And he coached, or he like talked about it the same way he commentated. Like he would get excited when it's like, okay, you handled that really well. But it's just like the kid actually has so much fucking passion. And I don't understand how people mistake it for some sort of false emotion.
Yeah, I don't know.
It blows my mind. I don't get it. Maybe it's an American thing. I'm not sure. But.
And furthermore, like, you know, that being said, even the casters that make tons of money in this, like, none of us can deny that anyone in the upper echelon of casting or playing loves this game. Period. Like, some of those
what?
Casters.
That was actually.
They have to have a. I mean, name one per. Okay. Maybe one person who Voldemort, who will not be named. But other than that, I think most of the top tier casters really love the game, like at their core, at least in my experience.
Well, both players and casters. That was actually my biggest problem with what Cloud said, because I don't know if that's naivety or just dishonesty, but there's a lot of players who don't practice a lot. There's a lot of players who don't really give a shit about the game. I don't like StarCraft 2. I play because, you know, it's something I'm good at, it's something I've been involved in for a long time, and because I like competition. I think the game's shit. I don't love it at all. And I know there are a lot of casters who feel the same way, and they're in it for, you know, for the money, for the job. And there's a lot of players who are also like that. So, like, you can't cast judgment on either side like that. There's players who don't practice nearly as much. Like, TT1 expects everything to be handed to him on a platter. He makes all those blogs about how Koreans shouldn't be allowed in foreign tournaments because he doesn't want to practice hard enough. And, like, you know, but players and casters are equally to blame or to be called out on that.
Let's talk about something else as well. And actually, In Control, I'm sorry, you never really got a chance to finish your.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I guess the point I was gonna make, for me, this is like a cheap segue into something that I'm gonna really get on a soapbox about in the coming years, if you will, and that's that commentator positivity is actually so critically important to developing this game from mm-hmm. like the player standpoint, like. One thing we could talk about is that it's pretty. I mean, the discrepancy between player and commentator. I'm not going to try to say commentating is the easiest job in the world because obviously it has its stresses, but it definitely is the more privileged side of that field. Like players that lose or don't have name recognition, all that stuff. Like they kind of fall behind. They become irrelevant, and then nobody really cares about them. But if you're a caster, you have more opportunities with an easier road to become. A bigger, you know, personality or person of importance. Like you don't lose in casting, right? Unless you make a really dumb mistake. And like for me, it's so important when Artosis commentates that he talks about, like he really talks up the player. Talks about like when they even make a mistake, he talks about how like there's so much going on in the game, and here's what went into that mistake, and it really makes sense that kind of thing would happen. And, of course, you know, there is times to be critical of players. When they make a terrible mistake, you're going to be critical of it. But for me, there's some really top-tier commentators who it's almost condescending when they cast because the entire time they're just kind of calling it a blunder or talking like, oh man, like this, I can't get away from this. It's just so terrible. It's such a huge, like, I don't know, what was he thinking? And like, and then they, like, even mid-game, they're analyzing the better choice and talking about, like, why they're about to lose the game because they made this horrific decision. And the stream chat and the people watching at home, they eat it up because the caster becomes the voice of authority. Even though if you had the player sitting next to him, they would probably start to defend themselves and be like, well, here's what was actually going on. But the caster gets to tell the whole story, both sides' story, and oftentimes everyone comes away from that thinking the player is just a big dumbass, you know, like, wow, he just threw that away and played terribly, what an idiot. And we shouldn't be doing that at this fledgling state of StarCraft II, because right now, people are making mistakes, but they're also doing things for a reason, and instead of trying to get away from the competition, we're talking more about how the players are making mistakes, and it makes the entire thing look really childish and cumbersome. So, there's some casters that do a really good job trying to make the player look good, even if they're making a mistake, because it's in the name of the competition. And then there's a lot of commentators that make the players look like shit, and they do it at their disposal, making themselves look like they know better, which makes them look better, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of a cop-out, like an easy way to seem very knowledgeable at the game and very good at analysis, be like, wow, I understand this better than the pro player. But in reality, a lot of times those things they're saying are just wrong, or it's because they have full vision of the map, full knowledge, something a player never has, and that makes it so much easier to make those decisions.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like Jeff said, some casters are just absolutely amazing at that. Like Artosis, he's one of the players who really still practices a lot. He was a competitive player for a long time. He just understands things very, very well, and he can put himself into that situation, like the player situation, look at the information that they have, and then see how their decision-making process worked, and then explain that to the viewers. So even if you make the wrong decisions, he's like, this is why it happened. This is why it was still kind of correct to the player. And that makes everything look good.
It makes the game more interesting, to be honest with you. It's better commentating is the thing. Like, it's not just better for the player, and it's not like it's somehow bad for the commentator. It makes the atmosphere of the competition better. Like, could you imagine a football game where they just go on and on, like, I just can't believe he threw that football to the wrong player. Like, does he not know that guy's on the other team? He can't score points for you. And instead, he's turning your offense into your defense, which of course means that you're actually going to spend more time on defense. You're probably losing the game. And it's not like that's an amazing point that people need to know, but it makes the team and the quarterback look like an idiot. And that happens in StarCraft 2 all the time. Like, when a guy does a wanky strategy in a best of three, instead of talking about how they're playing mind games or they practice together or they're trying to actually, like, jump on the other guy's meta game, they instead go, this build's from the beta. It looks fucking terrible. And I just, you know, he's just a bad player. I don't know.
Now, I mean, a lot of the points you brought up in Control, and even some of the things you touched on, Idra, was actually one thing that Cloud was very, very adamant about in his video. And it's, like, quite frankly, knowledge. Right? And there's no doubt, like, this argument has happened before, you guys have all mentioned it, like, knowledge, misinformation, like, I'm sure to a pro player, like, I'm not sure I've met a pro player who has been like, man, Wheat, I really like these casters. Like, seriously, for, like, fucking newsflash, man, I've actually watched StarCraft with a lot of these guys, and it's, like, it's completely different. It's totally different. I mean, is that fair to say? You know, I think I've watched StarCraft with Idra and In Control, and, you know, if I'm in the crowded MLG and you're just like, you got people that fucking, you know, oh my god, a Baneling went off. It's like, I've never seen you guys ever, you know?
I honestly mute all but, like, three caster pairs, and when I do listen to them, it's 99% just because I find them entertaining. Like, listening to Nick and Dan banter is actually just really fun.
Okay, right. And you know them,
so
too, right?
To yeah. And Artosis' commentary. Artosis is the one caster who I really watch, and he makes good points, and he points out things I don't see sometimes. He's the one person who I'll listen to in terms of that. But
yeah,
everyone else,
I love Artosis.
No. Which is absolutely understandable. I mean, it's not your job to understand the game on the same level of a pro player, especially if you're, like, the lead caster role, the tasteless, or the lead. It's not your responsibility to understand it that well, but you do need to have a lot more knowledge than most casters do. But that's kind of understandable. Like, the personality, if you have the dedication to understand the game well, that well, and get that good at it and put that much time into it, chances are you're going to end up a player, because that's just like the logical thing, the logical way to get that level of understanding. But if you really like esports, but you don't have that, but you have the personality and you can talk well, then you're going to become a caster, but then you also have to make time to learn the game, which is very difficult to do. So right. like it's an understandable right. situation, but he's absolutely right. Casters, yeah. 9 times out of 10, need to understand the game better, need to put more time into that.
And I, you know what, I would actually agree with Cloud on one point, and that is that, you know, he says that the Korean casters are the best. And you know what, like, I agree in some aspects. And in terms of what he was talking about, which is game knowledge, I agree. Because these guys sit down and they cast and watch some of the most amazing players that are out there in StarCraft II every day. And I think that that goes a long way towards how much these guys are constantly getting exposed to and being able to talk with the players. So, you know, I agree with him on that. But I'm also, and obviously with my background, this is big for me, I also feel like we need that personality. We need that host, if you will, you know? And it doesn't have to be a fucking circus.
But I think that's like what's amazing about necessary. The Korean casters, man. It's just like the high energy, high impact casting that they bring to the table is like, I love watching old like OSL VODs all the time, just listening to the Korean casters. I mean, it's honestly sometimes more entertaining than a lot of the English casts from back in the day, because there really weren't any like pro Brood War casters, really. I mean, there were a lot of YouTube casters and stuff, and like on the Team Liquid channel, and like Navaki, Moldtrap, Nuke the Stars, all those guys, Klazart. But like back in the day, the Korean casters just brought so much energy to it, and I think that's something that Western casters just don't do on the same level as the Korean casters, and I think we could learn from them in that respect for sure.
I think part of that might be a language thing. Like if you compare Spanish casting of soccer to English, you don't hear the English casters go goal. It just sounds kind of retarded in our language, the way intonation works, the way we speak. I think there's some of that between Korean and English. It just, they can go play goo and it seems awesome.
Yeah, but
that right, sounds stupid right. if you do it in English. So right. I think that might be part of the reason for that.
Well, regardless, I'm sure we're going to be getting more good video logs out of Cloud. He's got a absolutely, you know, like definitely.
He's actually really opinionated, and even if you think he's off the mark, starting up these conversations is really, really important, and it takes a lot of balls, man. Calling out Day9, holy shit!
He deserves a lot of credit for that aspect of things, because like we said earlier on, casters can kind of control the public's perception of a player, because that's all you're listening to while you're watching them play. You're listening to the caster and his interpretation of the game, and a big part of the community just takes what they think of a player directly from that. So you piss off Day9 and he makes you look like shit every time he casts you, that's actually a pretty big hit. So Cloud definitely has a lot of balls to call people out like this.
Anyone have any final thoughts before we take a break at the top of the hour and maybe come back and fire off some phone calls?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do?
Final thoughts, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I, you know, like, this conversation could never be had to its entirety right now, in my opinion. Like, I really want this to be an ongoing discourse, because, like I said, I'm going to get up on a soapbox about that caster thing. Like, and certainly when I cast, it's very easy, again, to kind of fall into the, like, let's talk about this mistake. But I just think that as long as casters have near the forefront of their mind the idea that there is certain ways to talk about those things and to not make it so negative that we come away from that thinking the player is just terrible and made this horrible mistake. And again, there are going to be times where a player does need to have that, because maybe they did make this just gargantuan, stupid mistake, and to not talk about it would be ignorant. But to make it a part of your casting where, okay, so-and-so's casting this tournament, they're going to be overly critical of everybody, they're going to talk about the big mistakes they're all making, and they're going to come out like high and mighty about it, that's where I feel like we should actually take a step forward and be like, listen, this is actually bad for everyone. And some of our biggest and best casters are the number one proponent of that.
What did you say, sorry? Including Poa, who's going to take all your jobs pretty soon, man.
Oh, God.
Practicing over there in the lair all the time in control. one of these nights going to be like, welcome to the EG Masters Cup. We've got Isaac and Poa.
It'll be the best cast ever. Because Isaac can actually talk forever to anyone about anything, so he would just have an actual normal conversation.
With
so Poa. They're yipping.
Just like,
I mean, I think that's a really good point that Jeff makes. I think it's very easy for a lot of casters to fall into that. And then also, like, a lot of casters don't really make it clear that, like, hindsight's 20/20, and the observer chair makes things very easy from that perspective. Like, Idris said it earlier, you've got full vision, you see both sides of the equation. Like, it's very difficult in the middle of a cast to, like, switch to one person's view and try and wrap your head around, like, why they did what they did from that perspective. It's just, it's so much easier for casters to just rag on them or just be like, well, what I would have done here if I was playing, and it's like, okay, you're not playing. You're not in the game right now. So I think that's a really good point, and I think a lot of casters, myself included, should try and stray away from that and just do it in a way that's more respectful to the player, for sure. I think it's just, it goes for all casters.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take our break. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, and we'll have more Inside the Game coming at you here in just a moment. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back with episode 40 here in just a moment. Our second hour. Did you guys know that the moment I say the word phone on Inside the Game, like, immediately Skype, it's like there's even a delay on the stream getting from us to them, but still somehow people just always know the Skype blows up. They want to hear from you. Yet again, what's up, guys? Welcome back. Let me make sure. Well, why don't you guys talk so I can...
Hello.
Okay. I thought you were all muted. Nope. You're just all messing with me. All right, you guys ready to take some phone calls? Anything and everything, it's up. You can Skype us at DJ Weed or telephone 909-581-8519. And Goatlust, also little known fact, Goatlust starts calling from the moment the phone lines open. But I always wait until last, no matter what. So let's take our first call. We've got Dustin on the line. Hello, Dustin. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I was just curious how you guys handle the hate that tends to be chucked around on such a regular basis. And, you know, if you ever get down on
yourself.
Well,
it's basically a lot of drugs, basically.
Lots and lots
of drugs. No. No, but in all seriousness, you just kind of have to, like, you know, one of the things about getting in as a player, because, you know, as a player, can you go to Reddit and safely, like, not see something that might upset you, or as a caster, or the feedback that you get, or, hell, even an interviewer or a hostess or something like that. You kind of have to go in it with a thick skin, you know?
Yep.
I think I don't know what else to say. I think that
there's no real charge. Like, you just can't care.
For as much, like, hate as you get, I mean, it's kind of easy to just, like, write people off as trolls and just, like, uninformed, uneducated. They don't really know what they're talking about. But for all that crap, in my experience, like, there has been some really, really cool shit that's happened to me. Like, just, like, random kids coming up to you with their dads asking for autographs at MLG, positive comments on Reddit, just little gems here and there where people will be like, hey, I really appreciate what you do. You know, love it, keep it up, stuff like that. And that to me just kind of writes all the wrong in a way. It, like, the positives outweigh the negatives in my experience.
You have to make a choice. You either don't read anything at all, ever. Like, I can tell you, Machine in our house, if you say something really mean about him on the forum, he won't fucking see it. Not gonna ever see it. So there's that take, which is really good, because you know, if you're just a player, you're not going to hear something. You're not going to read something on the forum that's going to change your playing style or your life. You're not going to be like, oh wow, he's right. I should have gone Colossus instead of Templar. Holy fuck! You know, that doesn't happen. But if you're a host, commentator, player, like speaking for myself, I made the choice that I will read comments, and because there is going to be important stuff that is said, and it is important to kind of keep tab on the pulse of people. To realize what I need to do to change myself as a community person, because I'm trying to interact with the majority of people, so obviously I don't force myself on them. I allow them to kind of, to a certain extent, manipulate what I do. But it took a long time. It took all of last year for me to kind of learn and develop and get that armor plating on my outside where I can hear all the, like, ridiculous comments that obviously don't help, but then I can actually deflect that and then absorb the good comments, the ones that are actually coming from a really good place. And I found I'm pretty happy, but one of the other kind of cool tricks that I'll do too is, like, if somebody curb stomps me, like in a show match or a tournament, guess what thread I'm not fucking reading, right? Like, that's what comments am I going to read in there, like, that are going to help me, you know? And obviously it's just after you lost, so you're pretty upset about that too. But, like, after DreamHack, I read all those comments because it was very uplifting. It was really positive for me. But you bet your ass there's some criticism in there. And there's definitely some trolls and there's definitely some haters. But it didn't get me down because of the positivity and because of the mindset that I had. So it was actually really beneficial.
Yeah, the internet can be as angry as it wants. But, like, when you go to a live event and just everyone who comes up and introduces themselves is a big fan. They want an autograph, they want a picture, they just want to say hi to you. Or, like, my fan club on TL or whatever.
That's a great point Greg just made. When you're at a live event and people come up to you face to face, it's never
hey man, I just want to let you know, paid user, I think you suck a big fat dick.
I understand. Internet anonymity changes things drastically, you know? It's really easy
It makes it very easy to believe that it's just like a vocal minority of retards or just kids who don't really care about anything, don't have any kind of informed opinion, and just want to be mad. And when you think of it like that, it's just incredibly easy to let it all wash off.
Yeah, except for that one guy. That one guy who pointed and then goes, come here! No, don't go near that guy, man. Don't go near that guy. Dustin, thanks for your call, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Care.
Let's take this call right here. We got Forrest on the line. Hello, Forrest. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Oh, not a whole lot. My one huge question would be is, you know, who's going to be the next big foreigner to win, you know, a GSL, NASL, DreamHack? You know, Thorzane just won one. Nani Wall's having a really great run. You know, who do you guys think could be the next, you know, big winner?
I think you just answered your question.
Yeah, pretty much.
Thorzane just took a recent one. Nani Wall's on the verge of possibly winning another big one. So, I mean, I'd have to go with Nani Wall on next potential foreigner to win a big event, right? I mean,
I don't know. I think calling a winner of a big event, well, Naniwa is the easy one because he's already in the round eight of that. But short of an already running tournament that's already deep into it, calling a winner of a big event is always going to be a massive crapshoot. It's like, who would have called Jakji to win GSL, or who would have called Thorzane going into DreamHack to win it? Just there's so many good players. Four or five foreigners have a pretty equal shot at it.
I see your point.
Otherwise, if you want to count the Brood War players as the new foreigners, I'm just kidding. All right, Forrest, thanks for your call. Man, I swear, like, we must have gotten that question 1,051 times. So I'm going to
That's definitely a reoccurring theme on the phones.
Oh, did we interrupt your conversation? Hello, area code 267.
Yo,
what's up? Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on? I just have a question for Pain Music.
Shoot.
Yeah, don't listen to the stream.
Hey, my question is, why is Terran OP? Why do you suck so much?
Okay, so the question, in case you didn't hear it, Pain User.
Mules and Marines.
Why is Terran OP and why do you suck so much?
There's trolling pauses. If you put up with a line, if you say, "Yeah, I just got one question," and then it's abated. It's like there's a pause.
It's like automatically.
Yo, I just want to know one thing. The next thing to follow that is fill in like a terrible troll. We need better trolls for Inside the Game. I'm very sad.
We do. We always do. Let's go ahead and take another one. We've got Joseph on the line. Joseph, welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. What's your question?
So I had a kind of a thought the other day that I thought would be interesting because you have three StarCraft II players in Wheat. Hello?
Yes, hello.
You have a background in everything. And I saw an article today on Team Liquid that says esports past and present. So my question is, I feel like I have, like, a Counter-Strike background, so I feel like I've noticed in Team Liquid specifically, they kind of, they say they're the center of esports a lot. And do you have a problem with that, or does that sound accurate?
What, say, like, they say StarCraft II is?
Well, just, like, it's always talked about how StarCraft II is, like, the game, and right now it is. But CSGO is coming out, and if you remember back when Brood War was out and the other games, it wasn't, like, the prominent game, at least in the American
Sure, globally. No, I mean, here's it, like the real deal is that I actually don't have a problem with it. And if I did, I don't think I could do a show like Live on 3. But to me, it's like, you know what? If esports to some people is StarCraft 2, and esports to some people is League of Legends, and esports to some people is fucking getting high scores in Pac-Man, I don't care. I'm the type of guy that's like, I see all those and I'm like, that's competitive gaming, man. That's esports. Like, that's what I fight for. Like, I don't have a problem with anyone just saying, hey, all I care about is StarCraft II. That's it. You know? So, I would guess you guys, I've never heard any of you guys, except for maybe Jeff, like, just obviously trolling me, like, really have any discredit for any other esports. Or any other competitive game in that regard.
I mean, I like what he's saying, though. That there are some times where it sneaks into our speech that esports is actually just StarCraft II. And I think more often than not, if you were to catch that person and be like, hey, actually esports is all competitive gaming, they'd probably agree with you. But if we're going to the interesting place where it's like, what game is the flagship game of esports? I think there certainly was a time and a place, and you can make an argument for MOBA right now, that it is StarCraft II. Like, in terms of getting corporate interest involved, kind of getting it more mainstream, there's not going to be every game that's making that path, you know, for the other games. But right now, I think StarCraft II is one of the games that's kind of breaking that ice.
There you go.
All right. I just had one other point I wanted to bring up. Do you guys feel that, like, when new games, there's going to be new esports, obviously, how does the money from sponsors going to be affected by that? Like, if CSGO becomes a big game, obviously Intel's not going to give as much money to StarCraft, right? Do you feel like the more the games come out, the more the prize money?
You are really confident about CSGO, aren't you?
Yeah, I wouldn't place so much
I've just heard good things from it. I talked to David Cho a lot. you know who he is.
So. Yeah, Chosen.
Yeah, so he's confident, so I'm confident.
Right on. Well, I mean, honestly, I think that these companies would probably love to have more games and more competitions to
yeah.
sponsor.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a zero-sum thing. Like, they can add more, give money to CSGO without taking away from StarCraft II. As long as StarCraft II maintains its success. Like, people don't have to only watch one game.
And to them, it's just all about numbers, right? Like, if CSGO picks up and starts bringing in tens of thousands of viewers, then I'm sure Intel is willing to divert more of their cash flow in that direction, and I don't think they would necessarily take away from... It's not like Intel has, like, a lump sum of money that they're allotting to all of their sponsorships at the beginning of the year. It's a fluctuating amount of dollars, I'm sure. And they'll probably just invest as they see fit. And if another game takes off, then I don't see any reason why they wouldn't put money into it. But I mean,
it could be a lump sum, by the way.
From what I've heard, well, maybe it is.
It's part of one of their budgets, I would say.
From what I've heard, like CS:GO, and from what I've seen on streams and stuff, I mean, it really just looks like a more polished version of Source. From what I've gathered,
I think it still has a long way to go, obviously, but it could potentially be good.
Well, thank you for your question, Joseph. Have yourself a good night. And, all right, CSGO. We'll talk about that. We got EJ on the line. Hello, EJ. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right, let me mute the stream. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
All right, I got a question. Do you think that Blizzard is intentionally keeping some features out of Wings of Liberty that they plan to add in the next two expansions, kind of as incentives for pro players to switch?
Like what features?
I guess what they just said in Diablo 3, that there's going to be kind of global server support. That seems like something that they could pretty easily add to StarCraft 2, or maybe even LAN. Who knows?
Well, pro players are going to follow the tournament scene, and the tournament scene is not going to decide which game based on that. Like, we're going to switch regardless. It doesn't even matter if the game's terrible. That's just going to be where the attention is, and the tournaments follow the attention, and the players follow the tournaments.
There, your point is not entirely moot, though. Like, I could Blizzard being able to roll out things they should have at the very beginning as the good guy Blizzard, you know? Like, well, you know, you asked, and we've got it, guys. Here it is, shared replays. And people will be like, aw, Blizzard, you're so good. Thanks for thinking of us.
Yeah, I don't know that it's necessary. I think it's probably more an issue of resources, and I just have to pretty much agree with everything that Greg said. I have a hard time believing that they're holding back things like, as incentive.
Like tournaments, they'll look at how many people should come. Okay, let's say they think that 5,000 people should come to their events. They will put out 4,500 chairs or 4,000 chairs, not because they're evil, but it's because it's good business to make it look like it's more full than it is, or if less people show up, to not look like you expected more people, empty chairs. And the same kind of stuff happens with games and UI and all that stuff. Like, if you roll out every trick you have in the bag first thing, then you're setting up not only a standard that's really high and hard to follow through with, but also it doesn't allow you to do things like innovate with stuff you already have, which costs you less resources. So I think it's a valid point. It's a good question.
All right. EJ, thank you for your call.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. And don't be angry if I, like, just suddenly cut you off. There's a lot of people calling. We're going to try to get through as many as we can. We got area code 732. Wait, isn't this the same guy? No, fuck that guy. All right, we got area code 503. If you were calling from the same area code as that other guy, blame him, man. Blame him. He shat on your area code. We got area code 503. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
All right, Chasey Sweet. All right, so I have a question about players like Liquid Noni. So, like, how is that even, like, acceptable, like, what he does? Because he doesn't, like, practice very much at all. So, like, how is that acceptable that he's still, like,
I don't understand what you mean by, like, what he does.
Yeah, like, what do you mean?
Very much. Because, I mean, there's players, like, that are way more, like, talented than him, and that practice, like, a lot more than he does. And, like, I mean, how is that acceptable that, like, someone like him can still be, like, paid to be on a team when there are people
well,
who practice a lot more than he does.
Time out.
Yeah.
Like, first off, we have no idea how much Tyler makes, and I would imagine his pay is scaled somewhat to the rest of the team.
Nor how much he actually does practice.
Also, like, Tyler has a long history with RTS games. He was one of the best Protoss players in Brood War for a very long time. Played in a Courage tournament in Korea. I'm not sure what place he took, but he almost qualified out of it. Got second place in a Courage tournament. So, I mean, he's paid his dues, and people are willing to listen to his opinions about StarCraft. So, I mean, and it's not like he's getting paid crazy money for inside the game, or, I mean, for state of the game either. And he goes and competes in tournaments when he can, when he's available, and he puts in as much time as he can between, you know, having, like, a wife and doing all the real-life stuff. Like, he tries. It's not like there's a serious lack of effort
there.
Yeah,
you know what? You know what? Just get a wife and then see what's up. For reals.
I don't understand why you would think that, like, I don't know, that there's, like, other people, like, more deserved of that position. Like, is that, like, a coveted position? I don't know. I see Tyler as, like, kind of a guru. Like, I respect his opinions on a lot of stuff, and I'm willing to listen to what he has to say. So it's as simple as that. Like,
I also, if you guys didn't know this, or caller 503, that Nazgul is, like, the smartest motherfucker that I have had the opportunity to meet. And you may not know it the first time you meet it, but the more you deal with him, you realize just, you know. And I just don't believe that he can make terrible decisions. So,
but yeah, well, your pay doesn't scale with how much you practice, or otherwise the Korean B teamers would be making more than any foreigner. Tyler has a really big fan base. He's on State of the Game, which is an incredibly popular show. And people like him a lot. People want to watch him do stuff, and they follow him. That's what makes you valuable in this community. Not even how much you win, much less how much you practice.
All right.
Yeah, I'm tired of people, not necessarily callers, so I'm not jumping down your throat, but I don't like that it's like there's this weird thought that players don't add value unless they're winning tournaments. Like, this, it's a machine. There's different parts to that machine, and each part has a lot of value. Tyler beat Dark Force in an NASL match, which for any other guy out there would not be that big of a deal if they're, like, really known, really competitive. But because he has such a huge fan base, and because it's, like, kind of the underdog story, there's three thread on Reddit, or three threads on Reddit, rather. There's a thread on Team Liquid. He's getting tweeted, like, just showered in love. Like, Team Liquid has value with having Tyler on their squad because he has a story to tell. He represents something, and he does an amazing job at that. Like, the only thing I don't like about it is that Tyler very actively posts on Team Liquid saying, well, I'm not really practicing. And that's, like, that's just not the message he should be putting out there, but in my opinion. But, I mean, outside of that, he doesn't have to win tournaments to add value to his team, so who cares what he's getting paid? Because as long as Team Liquid thinks they're getting ROI on that, then it's worth their time and money.
At the same time, though, I can kind of understand, like, where he's coming from in terms of saying that he's not practicing. I mean, it's super frustrating having been at a point and then, like, competing at a level that you know is not your level and then feeling like you have to justify it to the public just based on, like, what people say to him and flame him on threads and, like, his Twitter and stuff. Like,
it won't stop when you tell people that you're not trying.
Sure. Yes. Yeah.
You're just feeding that fire.
So yes.
That's why I would always tell him, like, you either don't respond to it or, you know, you try harder, but you don't tell people, like, well, look, I don't actually care, and I'm not trying that hard. Like,
yeah, for sure.
It's going to get worse.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your call. And, yeah, that guy must not be a part of the Tyler, Liquid Tyler fan club.
Well, it's just so weird that, like, that, I don't know, man. It's like it seems like the general consensus from the public is that, like, a lot of these positions in the community are just, like, awarded without merit. Like, we don't.
What
just,
would,
like,
happen in a world where fucking teams were determined by community polls on Team Liquid, and this week you get to vote in the next member of Team Liquid?
Just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I want to take this guy's call. We got a guy on the phone. Want to thank him for his support here on Inside the Game. We got Semi-Pro Joe joining us. What's up, Joe? How's it going?
Not much. How's it going?
It's going good, man. Are
good,
you gonna
good.
Are you gonna ask an awesome question for these guys or what?
I really don't know if it's an awesome question, but it's something that I've been wondering for quite some time. Okay. Really easy. 2v2 in the competitive scene. What do you think about it? I know that it was like on the EG Masters Cup, I believe, last season. Why or why not do you think it'll be popular?
Mm-hmm. Well, I really liked in Brood War Pro League for a while, when teams faced each other, they'd have like three 1v1s, a 2 versus 2, and then the ace match if there was a tie. And I thought that break was really cool, but also having the clutch match be a 2 versus 2 was really exciting because it was not only just a different kind of match, but it also showed like the better prepared team. And then there were some teams that had like legendary 2 versus 2s, which was like a side story. So that wasn't everyone's cup of tea. I think they actually reverted back to 1v1 entirely, even after that. Mm-hmm. I think tournaments should take a chance with it, and they really should. For me, I think part of the reason why it's kind of difficult for us to appreciate is for the same reason why 1v1 is really tough for international competition. That's because there's always going to be that latency backdrop that we're going to talk about that delegitimizes it. And in 2 versus 2, you have more of a chance for that to happen because you have more players involved, right? So I don't know. I think it's really, really cool, and I hope that they revisit it, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah. I think it's difficult to balance because it gets less gameplay than 1 versus 1 just by the nature of the game. It's never going to be played as much. So you have less information. You also have a lot more variables going in, obviously, with four players and more different race combinations. So it's really, really hard for 2 versus 2 in any kind of team game to actually be a fair competition, which makes it very dangerous to include in anything, you know, where the competition matters. So you're always going to have that aspect of thing. And also people just seem less excited about it, which doesn't wholly make sense to me, because a big chunk of the fan base is more casual and they're more likely to play team games and fun games. So it seems like they should be able to appreciate it more. But on the whole, just people seem to be much more excited about 1 versus 1.
Having, you know, Iter, you made a good point too, because people did get excited over it. And I think it's like certainly the novelty of it.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't get the impression the players were getting excited over, but people were like, man, I get to see my dream matchups, you know, even in the Masters Cup. And I think for me, in order to actually see some of the great play come out of 2v2s, it took like 8 or 9 weeks before people are like, okay, we're going to do this and this might be cool. But other than that, it was literally, I've never seen more of the same strategy in any other like game type, you know. It almost just became a carbon copy of what was going on with a few tweaks here and there. Yeah. So, I don't know.
I mean, I thought it was interesting to an extent in the Masters Cup. Like, you know, we saw Strifecrow and Axelav start off really weak and then slowly kind of change their 2v2 style to adapt a little bit and then kind of started breaking even towards the end.
Just started picking Terran. That was actually what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, Axelav did end up switching to Terran, actually, which allowed them to get some wins. But, I mean, it's just cool trying to see how the teams figure it out from a broadcaster perspective. I thought it was pretty interesting. And then seeing how other teams were starting to put together their strategies for 2v2, it's just so unfigured out. Nobody knows what to do. And it's a totally dynamic gameplay. So, I don't know, it just makes things interesting. At the very least, if you throw a 2v2 match in there, like, it's something new, it's something
just awesome,
different. And it provides team play in a game that's, you know, largely based just on solo performance. I think it's kind of cool just to highlight that team aspect and just show that the game can be played in a team-based manner. I don't know if enough people watch it to care, but or for it to ever be big, but I just think it's a cool concept, and I don't think we should hesitate from reintroducing it at some point, just to see what happens.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you for your call, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Wheat.
Take care. Have a good one, man. Peace.
You too.
All right. Here we go. We got area code 404. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? Yeah.
He makes a good.
They had a lot of minutes left over. They are just trying to use them. They're carrying over. Okay. I'm gonna go with one more phone number. Area code 330, welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Just watching this, you know, chilling.
All right. I
have a question for Idra. Been wanting to talk to him for a while, actually, now.
Okay. Can you turn your stream down in the background?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Idra, would you bang the Muslim's girlfriend if you had the chance?
Oh my god, dude. Get out. Gone.
Ridiculous.
He did turn down the stream.
That was nice of him.
He did turn down
the
stream. Yeah. Real nice. Bro calls, man.
He turned down the stream, man. Shit,
yeah,
dude.
Just chilling. He's like thinking of it. Like that's actually the third joke he was gonna make, by the way. He had two ahead of that, but he bailed out. He could really like he was filibustering when he says he's just chilling and shit. He's like,
I think you're right. I think you're
right. Yeah, you could sense the hesitation. Like, I'm just chilling.
You know, what the new technology I'm going to develop is the ability for all of us to have a button. It'll be very similar to the GG button. It'll all just tie into my Skype. And at any moment, anyone's like, I hate this guy, you just pound the button and it automatically just like takes the next caller.
You need like a toilet flush sound.
It's coming. It's coming.
My actual calling is I'm going to quit shows. I'm going to quit pro gaming. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to figure out the Super Skype program where I'm like, it'll like ping me when a show is going live, and I'm just going to troll it. And I'm going to show people how to do this. Like, be clever about it. Get funny responses from people. I get Sir Scoots raging about Counter-Strike, and he's just about to lose his mind on air, and that's fucking funny.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like, call into Live on 3 and find out how easy it is to get Rod to either be very underwhelming because that's how chilly is, or to actually flip out because that's how like passionate he is. Like that's how you do it. You don't.
No one's that smart, Jeff. You can't like. They're just you're talking right now, and they're like, I'm gonna say fuck on the internet.
Here we go. I have a question for you.
I don't know. You guys are inviting like a whole nother tier of trolls,
dude.
It's Pandora's box.
Those guys are the best, man. Hey, wait, look at this picture of Flash pointing at Idra. Oh, my God, that's fucking awesome. Idra, look at this fucking picture. Oh, it's a Photoshop weed. That's even better than the bullshit. All right. That's okay. We're going to take this call right here. We got Ross on the line. Hello, Ross. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
No problem.
I'm going to preface this just by saying that I'm actually a Dota player, and I don't actually play StarCraft II.
Okay. I'd like to preface this with I've played Dota 5 times in the last 2 days, and I cannot figure that fucking game out. So with that being said, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, we had in the international Dota scene, there's been a lot of players and stuff that have been given problems. But the casters, there's basically like two big casters and then tons of lower level casters, and some of them are pretty terrible. But I'm wondering, as esports as a whole, do you think that there should be like unification across casters from all esports? Or do you think that each game having its own casters acting their own ways is the way it should be?
I mean, can you have unification of all casters across all games? Casters, by nature, are specific to their game of expertise, right? If you're going to split your attention span between multiple competitive games, there's going to be casters that are superior to you that focus on a specific game, right? So, I mean, you'd be, like, dumbing down the overall level of casting by creating some sort of a casters, like, union or support system. I don't know. What's the point? Why
I mean, I'm just saying that should casters have, like, limits placed on them across all games where... like, because, you know, if you look at casters for, say, normal sports, they have guidelines that all of them follow together. Do you think there should be something like that that would bring, you know, esports together as a whole? Or is it that each game is so different in its own that casters have their own set of skills that they can't be the same?
Well, I mean, I could tell you that if I would have started out my career as a commentator saying, man, I'm going to commentate Quake 3 for the rest of my fucking life, I would probably not have made it very far. So, honestly, I think I just have to answer your question with, like, people have to consider it from a bigger picture, right? I really enjoyed commentary. I really enjoyed competitive gaming. So, honestly, there's a lot of casters that have a future in the game for as long as it lives. And there are a lot of casters that have the future because they are willing to go to other games and start working on other games. But I don't know that like there can be any unification because you present every game differently. Every game is just inherently built differently. Like I'm not sure unless you think there's some sort of inherent problem already, there's a solution to that.
No, I just wanted to get thoughts on maybe that if, because you know, you get people who get in trouble for using certain language in certain situations.
Oh,
is there something that should be done?
Okay, I got you. So in some community where they're like, it just raped the hell out of, you know, whereas
yeah,
like another that. Community is going to say, okay. I mean, yeah, it's called common sense, dumbasses. It's called common sense. Honestly,
not so common anymore.
It's I know, but the answer is that simple. I mean, does anyone disagree that it's just like, you know, it's typically if I'm casting a big event, like it's common sense, guys. It's just common sense. I don't know what else can possibly be said about it. You, Pena's are in control.
I agree.
That's pretty much right. Also, the only point is that different communities have different standards. Like the fighting game community is a little bit more ruckus than StarCraft II on the whole. They'll accept different things and be okay with it, and they just as a whole don't seem to want to become as mainstream as StarCraft II does. So they have different standards, and I think that's perfectly acceptable as long as it doesn't really affect our community. I'm not sure. That's where the argument would be, whether or not their behavior then affects us and to what point is acceptable.
Are you concerned about it?
No.
Are you I figured you weren't. Are you, Ross, are you concerned about it, or?
I'm just saying that, so going forward, like, I'm just thinking in the long term, is there going to be, like, some repercussions from having certain groups in esports that have, you know, the slightly lower, not lower,
or
I guess,
more colorful
word, but...
commentary? Yeah.
We've seen repercussions already.
Exactly.
For those types of things.
You know, I mean, I hate to kind of put the point out there to the fighting game community, but they run a different operation over there. And I think as a result, they're not going to get as much exposure to high-level sponsors that could potentially take them to a higher level. There's exceptions out there. Look at Evo. Look at how successful they've come. Look at how much they've grown. And that's because they did decide to conform to their own standards, the standards of common sense.
Oh, and to they be fair, still, they do get, you know, Brazzers, we don't, so.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's one guy, right? I mean, one guy got it all. But it's, yeah, I absolutely think, though, and Payne News is right, repercussions have happened before.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Ross. Did get Brazzers.
Getting that?
I don't know. Big publicity. We've got K or K-E or...
Hey.
Hey, hello, welcome.
Sorry,
inside the game.
I'm going to mute the stream.
Okay.
Awesome, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a couple of questions, a few to Idra and a few to In Control.
Okay.
First off, I watched your stream, Idra, quite some, and you listen to a lot of dubstep. This is no troll, I just want to say that. I had a dubstep period, I liked it for a while, but... Just for like a month, I can't seem to think, like, what is there to enjoy about dubstep?
It sounds good. Why else would you listen to music?
I mean, it's just whoop, 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 constantly.
Yeah, but
okay. It's a different taste in music, man.
Yeah.
I found
it's funny, though. I've heard this debate.
You know what? I think country sucks. Like, yeah, exactly. Country sucks, but I'll tell you what, man. There is a bar just opened like 5 blocks from my old house that was just, it's nothing but shit kickers and people that ride a mechanical bull, man.
There's a pretty fair chance that
My dog died, my girlfriend left.
Sorry, it was a dumb question.
It's okay. I know you've got a good question. Here we go.
Yeah, let's... ask this. Yeah, you're known to have a short temper sometimes. Have you ever, like, had some serious fucking nerd rage, like, wrecked a keyboard or something? Because I sure have.
No, I haven't. I've never broken anything.
Yes, you have.
Have I?
You smashed a keyboard and when you lost a TriCaster.
The F4 key popped off. Didn't smash the keyboard.
In all fairness.
The F4 key is absolutely irrelevant. I don't use the F keys. It still worked perfectly fine.
Pain user, what about you?
I tend not to rage ever.
And you've never had? Okay. In control?
I had a dubstep phase.
No, I mean, have you ever, like, really gone crazy nerd rage?
No.
Okay.
It's not my...
Okay. In control, what about you, dude?
No.
No?
I mean, I think when I was, like, 13 one time, I, like, picked up...
Yes!
And smashed it down.
But... I'm the winner. The winner is me. I've broken mice,
wait,
keyboards... And one time,
mouse.
One time I tried so hard, man, I don't even remember what game I was playing, but it was a PlayStation 1 game. You know how the PlayStation controller has little wings? It's actually perfectly engineered to make you kind of want to just squeeze it as hard as possible and just try to fucking twist it in half and break and just crush it. And then the only other time, I could never do it. I literally, like, ground-pounded an Xbox controller into the ground because of Fable and how bad that game sucked. And other than that, I think that's about it. It's kind of yeah. Probably a few more I've forgotten about.
Yeah. I just another two questions to In Control.
Okay.
I don't know all of the tournaments or stuff you've casted. I know you've casted the first season of NASL, and I'm sure you've casted some MLG too. Am I correct?
No, but it's fine. Keep going.
All right. I really enjoyed your casting, and I am thinking, have you ever considered going full-time caster, like quitting pro gaming and just focusing completely on casting?
No, I'm very happy to be in a place where I get to do it exactly what I want, and I really like casting, I really like hosting, but my passion is still to compete, so for as long as I can, I'll try to compete. If I was in it for the money, then I absolutely would have gone casting a long time ago. That's it.
All right, Kate, thank you for your call. I know you probably had a couple more, but, I mean, if we gave everyone 20 questions, then... we'd be in big trouble. We'll take another one. Goatlust is on deck. We got Jacob on the line. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
Wow, hello. Thank you very much for taking my call. I just want to give a big shout-out to 12Doc, who's managing the chat today. I got a chance to cast with him several times, and he's an awesome dude. And thank you guys for all you do for esports. So
I like that guy.
My question is the following. This is probably more for the players, Idra and In Control. I'm very fascinated with the learning aspect of StarCraft. Do you guys have in the house like a specific schedule that you follow, or does each player do their own thing and then you have your training sessions? Or how is it that you guys take the learning process of StarCraft and getting better at the game?
EG is about to launch EGTV, where I'm not actually supposed to talk too much about it, but the idea is that you could basically watch an EG player stream almost at any hour of the day. So that's the only schedule we actually have. Beyond that, it's kind of player responsibility, and part of that kind of falls to me as captain to make sure that everyone's kind of on point and practicing however they feel necessary, which is usually anywhere between 6 and 10 hours a day. And around tournaments, that might actually get elevated, but at the same time, the thing is, like, players train differently, so you never tell a player this is how you're going to train. They have more impetus than anybody in the entire world ever could for them to win, so they know, or they're trying to find the way that's best for them to train. So as long as they're putting in the time and they're putting in the effort, we're happy. As far as, like, EG practice is concerned and stuff like that, streaming that was really cool. It was a nice way to get our names out and stuff like that. We'll probably... do more of that, but it's not going to be an everyday kind of thing because you never want to broadcast our actual private practice all the time. It's not good.
No, of course. It was more, not in terms of making sure that everyone's, you know, putting in their time. I just meant more in terms of, do you have a thing where, you know, every Tuesday you guys kind of look at a set of replays or something like that? That was kind of more my question. The structure of the practice.
Yep. Believe it or not, like, EG has invested a lot of money in us, so if there's a guy sitting in the house who's not practicing, which there isn't, I mean, if that were to ever happen, it would be pretty silly, but there is absolutely accountability for that. It's not a Korean Brood War house where, like, literally they're like, okay, it's 9 o'clock, I'll see you guys in 12 hours, have fun playing this game all day. It's not like that. But what it is like is that if a guy gets depressed or they feel like, you know, it's a couple months to a tournament, so they're spending a little bit less time playing it, If that little less time is something like 2, 3, 4 hours, then eventually we actually kind of all go up to that guy and say, hey, you know, like, what's going on? Are you okay? We need you practicing more. You know, we got this show match coming up, and you know, the team needs you, that kind of stuff. And we all kind of hold each other accountable that way. But that has actually happened so rarely, just because nobody here wants to lose, right? EG gets more attention than I would dare I say any other team in the world. And when we start slipping or losing, everyone in this house feels that pain. So we're working as hard as we can not to.
All right.
Okay,
Jacob,
thank you, and big shout out to London Barcraft. All my guys over there are really awesome and working very hard to promote esports over here in the UK.
Well,
so
keep up
thank you to
work.
Them.
Take care.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead and take Goatlust. I don't know this. We actually have a little bit more time than I expected. So actually, I'm gonna take. Sorry, Goatlust. I didn't mean to put you up on deck and then not actually. Call you back.
No, we got time for a lot of questions, I think.
Yeah, I think so, actually. It's going to depend. So, on how quickly these goes. Okay, we've got Alex on the line. Hello, Alex. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hello. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
All right, cool. My question is, well, first off, let me describe my situation. I'm 16 years old, and I have a pretty big amount of passion towards StarCraft and esports in general. I try to go as many events as I can. Live in Orlando, so I went to Red Bull Land. Actually, got your autograph, DJ Wheat.
Thanks for coming out.
And every time I see a pro player, I get like nervous, you know, just like, oh my god, there he is. Kind of like how a fangirl would be. So basically, my silly dream is to eventually be in a major tournament and try to place decently in it. So what would be my best shot at getting towards there? I try to practice every day.
Yeah,
and,
can we assume that you are playing the game that, like, you have...
Yes,
well,
yes.
Downloading the game might be the... Okay, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
what,
yeah.
What level are you?
I'm currently platinum, high plat.
Okay. To be completely brutally honest, play it as long as it's fun for you. If you're enjoying it, keep playing. But do not stress yourself about placing highly in a major tournament as a guy who right now is platinum, because it's so lofty and it's so not worth the sacrifice to do it from the perspective that you're at the age that you're at. That you, 99.99% of the time you're going to be disappointed. But I'll tell you what, if that modicum of a chance is worth it to you, then shoot for it. But do it as long as it's giving you fulfillment and you're having fun. Because if you start, like, sacrificing and losing out and being upset about this, then
you kill yourself.
You're shooting for the stars and you're burning up in the sun, man. Like, you're just not
going
to make
it.
Yeah, at that point...
I totally understand that, too. I play online tournaments as much as I can and play ham and all that. And I try to watch my replays and... Watch analysis from.
I mean, it sounds like you've got your head in the right place. Like, do you feel like you're getting better?
Yeah, there is times where, you know, I'm sure every player has felt it when they go on a losing streak, and I'm slowly learning to not let that affect my mental state when I'm trying to practice. It's definitely hard after losing three games in a row to say, "Wow, I'm not doing too well today. I should take a break." But I'm trying to teach myself to not think like that and play more games.
Sounds like you're on the right track, man. Just I wouldn't like stress out about placing in a tournament or anything like that. Like just keep playing and trying to get better, approaching it the way you are. And then, you know, if at some point something clicks and you start winning a lot and you start getting really good, then, you know, pursue it more and invest more into it. But like, just play for fun and play as much as you want.
At that point, you don't really have to do anything special. Like, at platinum level, if you have the aptitude and the work ethic and like the actual drive to play the game that's necessary to become a tournament player, you're going to keep improving no matter what. You're just, like, you don't really have to do anything special at this point.
And I definitely enjoy the game. I've been playing it for like 5 months now and I haven't gotten bored of it yet. I think I stopped playing it for a week in bronze because I wasn't winning any games and I was just learning, but that was it. I've been playing it every day ever since.
Well, good luck, Alex. We hope you make it to a big competition. There we go. Alright, take another call here. We got area code 623. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's your question?
Hey, DJ Wheat, I had a question for Idra.
Okay. I fired, guys.
Pause.
I fired. I killed it. I hit it.
Yeah.
I hit the button, man. He said, "Hi, DJ Wheat," which was, like you said, you gave us a class today on In Control. Yep. Obviously, going for it. Fucking denied, man. It's like I swooped in and stole the quad damage from you, and it's denied. Fucking
Weed's troll radar is advanced.
He's going for a layup in basketball, and you just, like, smash the fucking
ball. It was
like,
the Gumby gif. It was the Gumby gif. All right, we got Tyler on the line now.
Hello?
Hello, Tyler. Your stream's coming through.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay.
I have a question for Idra.
Is it a real question for Idra, or are you going to be another one of these jackasses that says something like... Hey,
no,
Idra!
For everyone,
no, wait, that's a yes or no answer. Is it a good question for Idra, or are they, because we're doing live on the air screens now, so you have to get past me first. Is it a good question for Idra, or are you going to ask something like one of these other dumb bastards that called before? Yes or no? Good question or bad question?
It is a good question.
Okay, fire away. You passed.
That sounds just.
All right. A guy on a ladder, Fenrir or something like that?
Fenrir?
Yeah. Yeah, just coming out of nowhere, like, with his crazy win rate, opinion on that.
Well, I wasn't going to say who it was, but Jeff, it's Violet.
It's Violet.
Ah, all right, thank you.
You're welcome. Dude, mine? You just blew his mind, man.
You mean to say it's not an unheard-of guy who's just dominating? Whoa.
I heard that it might be Poa getting ready to cast that Masters Cup. That's why she's always barking, pissed off, playing Zerg, hating it. All right. Let's see. Okay, we still got it. Goatlust, he's still calling in, man. He's still calling in.
Keep on deck.
We're going to take this one. We got Garrett on the line. Hello, Garrett. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? Garrett? Garrett, don't make me use your middle name, man.
Oh, sorry about that.
Garrett, Mark, Matt. Oh, okay. What's up, Garrett?
Anyways, like, the whole, on Team Liquid today, you know, the whole Destiny thing, it kind of, like, turned into a shitstorm. But I'm more wondering about, like, Team Liquid moderating, like, streamers. Because, like, it keeps happening where, like, somebody says something bad. Like, it happened with Orb. Now it's happening with Destiny, and it's happened a few times with Destiny. I think it's happened with Idra, maybe, a few hate threads. And, like, they go to the sponsors, like Razer. So, like, should Team Liquid moderate these? Like,
all right, hold on. Since, like, this is obviously the thing that everyone wants to talk about, I'm not sure why you're just not saying, hey, Destiny got banned for 30 days in this thread, and we want, right? I mean, this is where this is coming from. You didn't just have this epiphany today, right?
Well, yeah, but it's not so much about, like, Destiny specifically.
Hey,
but it's more like...
Who takes care of Team Liquid, man?
Liquid.
Liquid.
So, like,
the moderators.
If sports gets hurt, then, like, it's bad for Team Liquid. And, like, people going after sponsors, I feel like that's really bad for Team Liquid.
And you know what? It is their website. They have the full freedom to moderate it however they wish. I feel like they've had a pretty decent track record as far as things are concerned, considering the amount of stuff that is posted on there on a daily basis. And that's pretty much all I have to say about it. I mean, this seems to be an issue between Destiny and what he said and what he said on actual Team Liquid and the way that the mods decided to handle it.
Yeah, like, you know, at the end of the day, that's the player deciding to do that. Like, Destiny knows what's been happening in the community. He knows there's a huge spotlight on players saying stupid shit and doing stupid shit right now. And he chose to do that anyway. So... That's just, like, a personal choice of Destiny to kind of just, like, see what happens. He's playing with fire, and that's fine. But, like, I think a lot of players understand that now, and people are toning it back. I mean, especially in the case of players that, like, do have a lot of sponsorship and their image is on the line as well, and their team to boot. So, like, I think the community as a whole... kind of like went a little crazy on people for just being themselves on stream, which is essentially what people are doing. They're streaming like their personal time and their they're putting themselves out there. So you can't not end up getting a little bit of rough around the edges. But anyway, that's just the way Destiny is. And
yeah, he's not I'm not so much like concerned about Destiny. Like, I mean, I watch Destiny stream. I like him. But if he gets banned or whatever, or like people stop watching his stream, he gets removed from Quantic. That's one thing. But like, what if Razer stops sponsoring Quantic or like Razer pulls sponsorships? Like, that's really bad for esports. And Jeff, I think you were saying some stuff about this and like the thread that people going after the sponsors, like Team Liquid just kind of let that thread snowball a bit. And like, but now Razer probably has like all these emails from people just raging about how like Destiny's ruining, like they're never going to support it.
So you're actually, your question's more about the whole sponsor thing.
Yeah, more like, I feel like Team Liquid could like curb that whole like going after sponsors thing by just like monitoring their stuff.
Even though I share your opinion that it's bad, there's no way in hell that Team Liquid can go through it and say, oh my god, you should never email sponsors and we're going to make that our opinion, and now that we do, we're going to ban everybody that says they're going to email a sponsor. Like, that's, you can't do that, because then you're actually like setting fire to the issue, and it's not only making Team Liquid look bad, but then there's going to be people who are like, wait a second, why are they suppressing this? Like, it just doesn't work that way. Until someone says something that's obviously bannable, like really offensive language, or just, you know, go by their guidelines, actually, they're not going to get banned. But as far as like the sponsorship issue, as an aside, it's just really important that people recognize that, like, if you don't like what Destiny's doing, he has actually said in the past that for as long as he's popular, as long as he's making money, then that's his guiding light. Like, why would he ever change? And it's true. He's really popular. He makes a lot of money streaming. If you actually have a problem with him, you don't go to Razer, because guess what? His salary from Quantic, that doesn't actually factor into the money he makes. He doesn't give it. I'm sure he doesn't actually really care about that. So you're actually just probably going to hurt his team and maybe hurt everyone else by creating an atmosphere where if a player or caster does something we don't like, we go straight to the money and we start yelling at those people who don't have any side of the story. They're just reading your email because they're not involved on that level. And you're telling them one side of your emotional story that's going to cause a really bad rift and start a big momentous thing in the community. So instead, go to Quantic and say, I don't like that they're doing this. And then if you say to yourself, well, Quantic knows that he's doing this and I don't, and they're not doing anything about it, then you tell Quantic, today, I'm not watching your streams. I'm not buying your peripherals. I'm not going to buy your jerseys. I do not like you because this is happening and you're not saying anything about it. And if 300 people say that to them, I can tell you as a representative of EG, that shit fucking matters, man. They don't, like, if five people say it, they ignore that shit. But if enough people go to them and say, you're doing something wrong, I don't support that, and as such, I will not support you, they will take action, because that's their responsibility. They will.
Yeah. I mean, also just bringing any attention to it, you know, kind of is what's happening now. I mean, I don't know. We discussed it enough. Jeff, I think you made some good points. So, Garrett, hopefully that at least answered a few of your
questions. And then also, another thing that I think should be said is, like, Quantic had to know that this kind of came with the territory with Destiny. I mean, he had just been removed from Complexity for similar stuff. He wasn't willing to conform to what they wanted in terms of, like, representing their sponsors and their team. And Quantic made a sacrifice. They wanted to bring in tons of viewership and notoriety and popularity on the off chance that something like that might happen, and they were willing to accept that. So, like, I'm sure Quantic isn't really surprised by this. The question is what will they do about it, and how will they deal with it? And I think that will say a lot about them as a team.
Yeah, everyone is, to some extent, is pretty self-moderating, self-correcting. Like, if people get pissed off enough, it's not like the teams ignore the community. Their livelihood is based on the community watching them and being okay with their image. So, like, if players do something bad enough, it pisses off the community enough, and the community actually pulls their support from them, you know, that player will get punished, because that's just the way things work. But, like Jeff said, the bigger thing with Destiny is you keep watching him when he does this shit. That just encourages it. That's not the way to handle it. Going to the sponsors doesn't change it. Like, everything Jeff said was absolutely right. As long as you keep watching him, he's going to keep doing this. It doesn't matter where he gets banned from, or which sponsors you talk to, or who pulls their funding from whatever team that's actually doing something for esports.
You know, at the same time, obviously, you know, we talked a little bit about you've got to have guidelines and whatnot, but for Christ's sakes, people, stop being such a bunch of prudes. It's like, I don't know.
There is there is something to be said on both sides.
Like, there is, of course. There is. But it's just, it seems like it's so back forth, as in, you know, we'll tolerate this, we won't tolerate that. And I just, you know.
The immediate jump to contact sponsors is the really annoying, silly thing to me. It's like people get so righteous about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like people are just doing it because they want to feel like, they want that feeling. They want to feel it's important. They want to think they're doing something or that they're making a big stand.
And I actively posted that thread.
It's just silly.
Yeah, like some of the opinions that came out really kind of repeatedly is like, well, if you want to get something done, you contact the sponsors. But I'll tell you what, like, this is not Major League Baseball. This is not NBA. We don't have 100 years of established commercialism and infrastructure. Like, it could actually go away tomorrow. We have seen esport communities collapse. We've seen tournaments lose funding, and they just died. And I'm not saying that if you do it, like, if the Destiny thing is going to lower StarCraft 2 or kill it. What I am saying is that if we create this atmosphere where every time we're upset about something, we go straight to the sponsor every single time, you're creating an attrition situation where eventually we could get to a place where a sponsor says, fuck it, man. All, you know, this sounds like a joke. Why am I involved at all? So maybe it's not Razer because they make peripherals, but you're creating the atmosphere for a lifetime sponsor or a lifestyle sponsor, excuse me, or somebody on a smaller scale where they're like, we only have a certain amount of budget to spend on this. Why would we ever go near that one community that constantly yells at us about all the racism and the bigotry and the and these terrible things?
Right. All right, so good discussion. We actually only have literally about 2 minutes left, and we've already got Goatlust on the line. Hello, sir. How are you?
Oh, yeah, not bad, mate. Not bad. How are you guys?
Not bad.
Good to hear you.
Not bad at all.
Thanks for coming on our free-for-all, by the way. Good having you.
Oh, yeah?
I hope,
no worries.
I hope you're not going to drop, like, the most crazy question ever, because we are kind of short on time. But please, go.
All right. I just thought I'd tell you guys, you know, actually, May 4th, 2011 was the first ever Inside the Game, and that means today guys have actually come full circle. You've made it 1 year.
All right. Hey, that's right. Actually, so, one more game is 1 year old. I feel like a
one
jackass. Yeah. Happy birthday. One more game. That's awesome.
I'm
like, fuck, man. It's like, that's how busy life is. Like, I was like, holy shit, Goatlust, you're right. One fucking year has gone by. I can't believe it. Oh, we'll make the cake later. Thank you.
All right, then. I might go with a little bit more of a simple question, something you can go short and sharp. You know, there was that whole little shit storm recently, Idra, about those couple of six pools that happened in that Huck Show match.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, with the attitudes, you know, players are taking towards these show matches lately, and, you know, just the general amount of interest there is in show matches, do you think that there is a place for them? Do you think that they've got to change, like they've got to become more like NASL is doing in order to, you know, be something that's still relevant to people? Or do you think show matches are, you know, still good, they're still going to stay around even though we've got a lot more tournaments than we did a while ago?
Well, it depends on what kind of show match. Like, that was a show match for absolutely nothing that we were forced to play. I had no desire to play it. I didn't want people to watch it because I don't want our sponsors to be encouraged to host another similar event because I don't want to play in it. So I just didn't give a shit. But in NASL, like the NASL show match I'm going to play again tomorrow this weekend, there's $1,500 and a Kingston HyperX solid state drive on the line. And they're also flying me out there, and it's going to be a fun live event, get to meet a bunch of fans and stuff. So that's like, why wouldn't I care about that? That's just a one-match tournament. Like, it's a real thing. I'm practicing for it. I'm going to take it seriously because it's a legitimate competition, and it's worthwhile.
Does that answer your question?
I think show matches will always have a place, too, because it's instant fan gratification. Like, instead of having to wait for the opportunity for these two guys to hit in a tournament, you can just create that opportunity, and money creates the stake, right? So, yeah, there's definitely been examples in the past where there's circumstances or kind of a player meltdown where it ends up being a bad thing. But for every bad show match, I think there's been 10 fantastic and excellent ones. So there will always be a place for players to be on display in that way, I would say.
And do you think NASL is definitely going in the right direction for at least, I think, high-profile players? Because that's what it seems like to me. Because it seems like the best of the best. Like, you know, the tier above, like, say, you in control, like, you know, Idra, the guys who are out there who've actually, like, taken big tournaments before, they don't really seem to care as much unless you've got that live setting. And it seems like they're certainly going in the right direction.
I just, it creates, like, the thing is, having a live audience for any kind of competition is actually, like, component X. It's what makes it more exciting. Don't ask for the science of it, I'm not quite sure, but for some reason, when there's people at the event watching, or the players are present, even though they're both face-to-face, but playing via Battle.net, which is the exact same fucking thing as if they were sitting in two different houses across the country, it just makes it more exciting, and for NASL to A, offer to fly players out, which shows them a new place, it kind of creates this awesome, exciting event for the player themselves. It also makes a better competition, which is better for everyone involved. And I hope that catches wind. I hope to see an IPL Sunday Showdown where they're flying players out to their San Francisco studio. I hope MLG starts doing stuff where they fly out two top players to their studio in New York and say, fuck it, let's do it, you know, $5,000 show match or something like that. That'd be really cool.
Goat Lust, as always. I got a question for you. Someone in chat said, I'm Aussie, this accent is fake. Have you been trolling us for a year? Are you that famous troll? That, like, well, maybe you are the troll that we've been looking for this whole time and we didn't even realize it. It's like a fucking romantic comedy and shit.
I was just going to put on an American accent, but fuck, I can't do accents on fucking cue. But, I don't know. Some people have sort of asked shit to me in the past, like, oh, fucking, what's up with your accent? Where are you from? But I don't know. I had a mate of mine when I was, you know, real young, like my first sort of best friend, and his mother was from New Zealand. So I don't know if I maybe picked up a tiny bit of, you know, that sort of shit when I was growing up, and that sort of fucked my accent a little bit.
You just get more and more exotic all the time, Goatless, man. I don't know, man. That's why we love you. All right,
I'm so curious of, like, a day in the life of Goatless
now.
Dude,
seriously,
like,
just
one
wait.
One day we're going to have a special episode where we delve deep into the Goatless history.
Where are you from in Australia? Cheese.
Brisbane.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Always been in Brisbane.
This guy's out to prove you wrong, man. It's like, geez.
Yeah, well, it's not fucking fake. That's
all right. Thank you, Gutless, for your call, man. Have a great one.
Take care. Thank you.
Yep. Bye bye. So awesome. All right, we got a wrap coming up next on the EG Masters Cup. We've got Team Liquid taking on Millennium, and that will mean you will get to see Stefano versus Hero.
Oh my god.
Yep.
So good.
Yep. That should be a pretty good one. So let's do our final thoughts, starting with you, Pain User.
Thanks, everybody, for watching tonight. Thanks for hosting, Wheat. Thanks for us for being on the show. Please do follow me on Twitter. I'm at PainUser on Twitter. You can listen to me ramble about SC2. And big shout-outs to my team, Check 6, and our main sponsor, TT Esports, and our other sponsors, PureTrack and ES Reality. Thanks, guys. Have a good day. I'm out.
Idra?
Follow me at Idrachit, IDRAJIT, and this show is actually in the middle of a 12-hour streaming session I've been doing, so I'll go back to that immediately after, although you should also stay here and watch Masters Cup concurrently. And thank you to my team, Evil Geniuses, all our great sponsors, Intel SteelSeries, Monster, Kingston HyperX, Beyond Gaming, and Sapphire. Big thank you to all them, and thank you to all our viewers for watching us on our one-year anniversary.